What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I want to tell him now, look here, little Jimmy. Like, I want to have good stories to tell him. I want to say, look, Jimmy, what would you do if this happened? And then this happened and then it all came crumbling down. And Jimmy's like, oh no, what did you do then? That's what I want, man. I want little Jimmy to say, what did you do then? That is the meaning of my life, man.
Welcome to the Budget Minded Traveler Podcast, your source for the everyday inspiration and practical tips that make international travel accessible to everyone. Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to the Budget Minded Traveler Podcast. I'm Jackie, and today we have a super special guest. You have heard his voice once on this show before, but you actually hear the results of his work all the time because he is none other than Hayden Lee, the worker of audio magic behind the scenes here for the BMT podcast, my very favorite podcast editor. Hayden is the host of Travel Stories Podcast. He's from England, but right now he is on a quest to visit every country in mainland Europe. He's riding his Harley Davidson to do so. So we're going to talk a little bit today about solo travel, a little bit about riding Harley Davidson around Europe and what that looks like, and a little bit about life. That is what happens when Hayden and I get together. We could talk for hours about all the things. Hayden is just a very cool human, and I'm excited to have him on the show today. You guys can follow his progress around Europe if you want to on Instagram at Backpack Digital. And I hope you enjoy this as much as we did. So let's get into story time with Hayden. Here we go. Seriously, just as we were both like running to set up everything, I was running. And trying to like juggle all the things as I'm walking down the hallway. I was thinking, oh, we're going to have to really focus here. Like, these are the words in my head. We're going to have to really focus to actually like, and what's the word? Discipline ourselves to get like, I don't know, a 45 minute episode out of this.
Totally true. Totally true, man.
Good stuff.
It's difficult, you know?
So back to the talking about you part.
Oh yeah.
Let's do it. Let's talk about you.
Okay. What do you want to know?
What do you want to know? That's a good question. First of all, people on my show have heard your voice before, and you've been involved in every single episode for like how many years now?
I don't know. It's been a while, eh?
You are a saint, and I'm super happy to have you on your own private show, because the last time that we did it was, I think, a game show.
Yeah, that's right. That was fun.
It was fun. But you definitely aren't deserving of your own space to tell your
That's
stories.
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here and for everything that you do for this show. You guys have no idea. I think this show still exists because of Hayden. Everybody give a round of applause to Hayden, please.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
He's magic.
Man, I was like I've said before, I was a listener back in whatever year it was, you know, many years ago now. Is it
14?
Feels weird saying.
Meaning yeah. 4 years ago, 2014.
I'd say that's many. Four
that's
is many, right?
It's
because you've
more,
got like one,
yeah.
a couple, a few, many, right?
Many.
Surely.
Many.
Yeah, many yeah. years ago. And I was a listener and yeah. And now here we are.
And now we're here. So, and yeah, where are you?
I am in Olsztyn. Please excuse my Polish accent. And I'm in Olsztyn, which is popular for being the hometown of UFC fighter and former champion Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And I say popular.
and
it's an awesome place. It's super nice. It's like, I don't know, a couple of hours north of Warsaw. And I was expecting, because it's the home of this UFC fighter, I was expecting like a nice gritty kind of, you know, back alleyways and stuff. Mm. But it looks like Cambridge in the UK. It looks like Yale.
Whoa.
You know, I mean, it's like
wow.
super nice. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like there's a river running through. It looks like Amsterdam on a good day, you know? It's
Ooh.
Really nice. Yeah.
Wow. Sounds, that's so cool. It. How many yeah. C's and Z's are in that city name?
Just one Z. Z. What am I saying? Z. I'm English. I've got to represent my people. One Z. There is one Z in that
Z.
name. Z. Does that sound Z. weird to you?
Z. No, it doesn't. Actually, I think Z is a really funny sound. And I think Z it makes is. More sense, but...
It does, yeah.
Z. It's, I don't know.
But it doesn't
mind.
Work with the rhyme, though. Like QRS. QRS? Is that right?
T-U-V. Oh,
yeah, T-U-V, T-X, Y, and Z. It doesn't work, does it?
Yeah, fail.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, but there you go.
Usually we fail trying to pronounce Polish names too. So good job. Good on you for at
I've
least
actually gotten
attempting.
All right at it. You know, the L yeah. with a line through it that everyone gets confused on.
Yes. The you slashed, I mean? The slashed L.
Yeah, that's like a W, isn't it?
Oh.
You know? Like,
okay.
you know, the town, it's like the L with a line through it, O-D-Z. It's like a big town in Poland. And everyone says Lodz.
Oh.
That'd be how you'd say it in English. But it's, the L is like a W, mm-hmm. kind of.
You
know,
kind
and like
of.
The O. I know.
So say that one.
It's like, oh man, this is all the people
spot.
That can speak, but I can't do it at all. But all I know that the L is a kind of a W, and the O is a little bit harder. So it's like Wudge. That was just annoying. But I think I think that's what it's like, though. It's something like
that.
Can
we replay that? I'm going to ask my editor to replay that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He won't do it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There you go. A lesson in Polish by someone that doesn't speak it. So.
Yeah. You know what I found, which is kind of funny, but when I was in Poland, I started calling the word, like, we went to a town called Szczecin.
Nice.
There's my Polish for you. yeah. Which is, it's actually right across the border from Berlin. So it's way north.
Oh,
and
right, yeah.
It's like, literally like a 40-minute train ride from on a tiny little like caboose train. It was adorable.
Nice.
It was like this tiny little route to a town called Szczecin. But what's funny is there's no way I'd be able to pronounce that in Polish, but that's the German pronunciation of the Polish word. And it totally works. It's like, sounds the same. So.
No way.
Yeah. That. I wonder if that's true for others. I don't know. I also went to Poznan, which is in the middle, and that is a lovely town. Kind of how you were just describing where you are.
Mm.
And nice. We went to Krakow.
That was brilliant. That had like the emotion behind it. That was amazing.
Yeah, dude, that place is emotional.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
it sounds
is.
Just by the way you say it.
Well, we went to Auschwitz and Birkenau when we were there.
Mm.
And that is crazy.
Yeah, I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Before we go down that dark, sad memory lane, what are you doing in Poland? You are on a quest.
It's a bit grandiose, but yeah.
Well, you call it projects. I like the word quest.
I do too, but I can't say that about myself. I can't say I'm on a quest. I just sound like Charlie
quest.
Sheen, you know what I mean?
Well, have you read, hold on, do you ever read Chris Guillebeau?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was on this show, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was way back in the day.
That's back in the day.
He's such a phenomenal author. But he wrote a book about quests.
He did.
I think it's called The Happiness of Pursuit. I think it's that one. And
yeah,
it's all about quests and... But it's fascinating because it's things that, I mean, everyday people just decide to do this and they have parameters. You know, it's like you have a goal that you want to achieve. You have a timeline that you want to achieve it. Essentially, that's like the bottom line of a quest. But that's what you're doing.
The bloke stolen my idea before I even thought of it. That's not cool.
Maybe you should read the book and like, no, because you've already got your quest starting to line up. Your next one's to become a meathead in Brazil.
That is a quest. Yeah.
So what is your current quest? What are you doing?
Okay. So my current quest is to ride around every country in mainland Europe, however you may define that, on a motorcycle. And her name is Gloria. She is beautiful. And we've been kind of riding for... along 10 months now or something. And we've been through, again, we've been through, I think, 26 countries, I think, out of 43. So a little bit longer to go, but it's been fun, man.
How long are you giving yourself to do this?
That's like, I do have some parameters for this quest, but that is not one of them. Like time is not one of them. Yeah. So we'll see. However long it takes, basically. And it's...
Yeah, you want to be in Brazil by January?
Exactly. That's kind of my quests are running into each other in a way, you know, which is a little bit annoying. Mm-hmm. This is why I never plan. This is why I don't like to plan stuff because it ruins things, man. Yeah, but there we go. I've got the plan. So I don't know. Maybe I'll finish this soon. All I've got to do now is go up through kind of the Baltics and then through Scandinavia and then down through Germany and then back up, you know, go to Switzerland, Liechtenstein, etc.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So you... You started in England.
I did. Yes. I bought the bike in England and started from
what's
there.
What's her real name? What's her full name? Come on.
I guess her birth name would be, I don't know, coming out of the factory should be, I don't know, Harley Davidson Sportster 883 Custom 2004. But that's not a nice name. You know?
That's also not what I was asking. What's Gloria's last name?
She can't just literally be called Gloria Stefan. She can't just have her last name as well. Like, but that is her namesake. Her namesake is the fantastic and the perfect in many, many ways. Gloria Stefan, singer of the 80s.
I love it.
Oh, she's so perfect, man. The bike I'm talking about.
The bike, of course. So what has been your route? You've gone through 20, I mean, you don't have to list them all, but what kind of direction have you taken? Because you seem to have been sort of all over the place.
Yeah, so I started off using a bit of the Google Maps, like, and saying, right, I should look on the maps. Oh, that town looks kind of in the direction that I'm going, so I'll head for that town. And I started doing that, but that was a bit restrictive because it's like I had a route to follow and I kind of, in the back of my mind, almost didn't feel like I could, you know, detour from the route. And it was kind of weird. So then I stopped using that. And then I started using, what did I use after that? I started using kind of a compass. I know I have to head south, so I'll head for this country. Because this country is south, you know. And so I was using a compass. But then that, again, was kind of restrictive because it's like, if this country is south and I know I'm going to that country, then what if I want to go east and go through a different country, you know? So that was a bit restrictive. So then... This is going to sound ridiculous. So I started using the sun.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of like a compass. Because the way I thought about it was I do kind of still want to go like roughly south. So I was like, if I use like a less accurate compass, i.e. where the sun is. So I started using that, you know. And that... It was a little restrictive because I still had the, you know, if I was going the wrong way, the sun, it didn't, you know. So
no wonder you're an entrepreneur. Cannot be regulated.
Well, I think it's more from the punk days, but so that's, that was a bit restrictive. So now I just kind of ride and kind of see what happens. And I've got a rough idea of where I have to go. Like I said before, I'm going up into the Baltics and I kind of know it more. The thing in the back of my head has now changed from I can't go off the kind of road that I'm going, that's changed to, you know, this is kind of the way I need to go. But that is now the thing in the back of the head. The thing in the mm-hmm. front is, let's just ride, you know? So
yeah.
That's kind mm-hmm. of the way I'm doing it now. It's fun. But the route, I started off in the north of France because I bought the bike in England and then kind of zigzagged my way down through France. And I think I only hit like one or two cities because I don't really do cities. Bordeaux was one of mm-hmm. them. And then accidentally mm-hmm. went over the Pyrenees, accidentally summited the Pyrenees. That was not fun. And then and then went the circumference of Spain, which was amazing. And then all up through Portugal mm-hmm. and then across and then down through Italy, and oh, I'm missing out a lot here. And then down through the Balkans, which is arguably my favorite spot so far. And then up.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
I love the Balkans.
So good. So good. I wasn't like, I didn't know much about the Balkan area, but then going mm-hmm. through Croatia, I'm like, this is my new favorite place in the world. It's like the best country yes. ever. How good is Croatia, man?
How do you describe Croatia?
So for me, I look at it from a motorcycle point of view, and there's this road, the coastal road. Everyone's been on the coastal road in Croatia, you know, the one from anywhere from Split to Dubrovnik or from the north to Dubrovnik. You've got to go down that. You don't have to, but you go down the coastal road. And so it's on the one side, you've got the mountains and it's just an amazing view. And on the other side, you've got the sea, you know, the sea. And so it's just amazing. These roads just wind round, and it's just the nicest and best riding road for about 10 hours. It's just the best, man. Mm. So good.
Mm.
But yeah.
Okay.
How do you describe Croatia?
like a cheaper, more raw, sexy, hot Italy. Like
nice. Man, they're going to put that on the brochure. Man.
Because it reminds me very much of Italy, but it's like older and just like a little bit more raw.
Nicer people.
Which I love. Yeah. Mm. Amazing food, amazing people, and it's less expensive.
Yeah, that's totally true. You know, and mm-hmm. you're not going to like this. You're not going to like this at all because I know you and you're not going to like this. Italy, probably bottom three of the countries I've been in Europe, I'd say. Bottom three.
That's fascinating. But you know what that says? There's so much to Europe. There's so much more than just what you hear about. Oh, that's totally. What that says.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because I mean, Italy's been in the limelight forever, like since, you know, forever. And so of course that's where people want to go and see, you know, and people are drawn to the places that are written about, but like the Balkans completely have stolen my heart. Like every time that I go,
100%,
I love 100%. The Balkans.
It's all mm-hmm. these countries that just, I don't know, man, it's crazy. Cause you never think about them. Cause like you said, they're not written about. And then you go there and you go, wow, this is, I mean, Bulgaria, amazing place. Romania, mm-hmm. had a lot mm-hmm. of fun in Romania, really cool place. And yeah, just these places you never think about. And you go there, mm-hmm. and this is the best place in the world. Andorra, I was not looking forward to going to Andorra cause it's like all mountainous and whatnot. It was going to be cold. I'm on a motorbike. I hate the cold. I hate that more than anything in the world. And I was not looking forward to it. I was like, I have to go to Andorra cause apparently it's a country. And I went there and it was amazing, man. It was so good. Loved it.
All 50 square feet of it.
Exactly. It's one of those, apparently it's a country. But, yeah. And San Marino as well. That's apparently it's a country, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. That was the only one in mm-hmm. Italy. And it's just like a kind of hill. It's more than that. But yeah. Gibraltar. I had to turn around to go back to Gibraltar.
Were you able to go? I suppose you could still get close enough to the Vatican on your bike.
Yeah.
Did you go in?
We went. So my mother came to visit for her 60th birthday. Cause what do you do on your 60th birthday? You go to Rome and get on the back of a Harley. Surely. You know, that's what you do. And so she came to visit and we went to the Vatican and it was cool.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Perfect. I remember we missed each other by like a week in Italy.
Yeah.
I think.
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Like a few days.
Yeah. That was the last time we chatted. Oh, that was for your show
Is that
or something
right?
else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I was in
Orvieto.
Yeah, I was in the south of France on my way to Italy. Yeah, that's right.
And I had just been in the south of France.
Yeah, we just missed each other twice. Yeah. Next time, Brazil.
So as you're on this, I have a couple questions for you. Where are you sleeping along the way? Like, do you have stuff to camp or are you only sleeping in hostels and hotels?
No, it's, yeah, so mostly camping because what I'm...
Okay.
A kind of the quest inside this quest is, because I think a quest has to, I've really taken on this idea of a quest now. I think a quest has to have like
You're
kind
calling
of a,
it that now.
I know, I'm going to do that from now on. And I'm going to change the title of my podcast now, just The Quest. That's pretty cool,
the
actually.
Quest.
Yeah, anyway. So I think the kind of meaning of this quest or the search for something, if there were a, you know, a diamond or a ring that I was searching for in this quest, I think that would be the feeling of freedom that I've had before on travels and that I'm kind of jonesing for again, you know? It's mm-hmm. like, it's like I'm a drug addict and that feeling of freedom is my drug. I need it again, man. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so... The times on this journey, which have been plentiful, the times that I have felt this feeling of freedom is, I can describe it perfectly, right? So, right, you've got your river or your lake or some kind of body of water a lot of the time. Maybe you're in a woods or something like that, but you're nowhere near anything. You know, you'd have to ride maybe half an hour to get to the nearest village, something like that, right? So you're in the middle of nowhere, right? You've got the bike right there. You've got the bike just chilling. Gloria just there purring, right?
In all of her glory.
Nice, nice. And then you've got the tent. And what do I do with the tent? So I set up the tent, got the bike there, cook some food, eat the food, right? And then I've got a guitar with me as well, electric guitar. Mm. Plug that in, play some guitar, you know, like some...
Electric guitar.
I do,
you
yeah.
just plug it into the rock by the river.
I plug it into the bike, actually. I'm not even joking.
You brought an electric guitar with
yeah.
you. No, like acoustic, chill.
Nah.
You're like blasting out the countryside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I'm there, I'm just playing Black Flag. I'm playing,
Oh, man.
But yeah,
oh,
so, but no, I've got that, got the guitar going. And then I've just put on some 70s music and you've got the sun going down. You've got the lake there. You've got the tent, the bike. That with the, you know, the perfect 70s music playing. That is the feeling, man. That is the feeling mm. that my parents used to have when they used to do this biking and camping. And that's the feeling that I'm chasing, you know? So that's what I try to do most often. Camping.
Cheers to that. I love it. Yeah. That reminds me very much of my trip, my road trip in Patagonia that I shared with on the podcast that I did with Ford. Like, that's what we did. You know, we just drove without, we had a direction south.
Yeah,
and if we
nice.
Deviated, we deviated. And we had tents, you know, we just had camping gear. And oh man, I was just talking to him like 2 days ago. And he was talking about how he like put the map up and you know, on his room, on the wall of the route. And just, you know, like the memories of that trip were just, it was that, it's that freedom. It's that freedom like encapsulated.
Exactly. Exactly,
it's amazing,
man. Because you can go anywhere, you can do anything. This, oh, it's the best, man. That is, as I think, as close to freedom as you can get. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I love
That's it. And you're off grid. Well, for us, we were off grid, which was like an extra level.
Yeah.
Of just like, what? This doesn't happen in the world these days. You know, it's like we felt like we were on another planet, and it was just like, wow.
Exactly. But then when you think about it, that is what this planet should feel like. Like
yes.
right now, we shouldn't have walls and you know, lights above us and, you know, curtains and a radiator. You know, that's not real. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not real mm-hmm. stuff. When I'm mm-hmm. out in the tent, I know arguably a tent is not quite real as well, but when I'm out and I'm in the tent, and again, a, you know, internal combustion engine, not so real, but... But when I'm out there,
electric guitar.
I know. Okay, this is falling apart now, isn't it? Right. But that's the real stuff to me, man. These things are just mm-hmm. extra. The guitar, the you know, everything like that. Being able to cook the food nice and easy. But like mm-hmm. it's stuff. Right. It's I'll tell you what it is. It's waking up in the morning, getting out of the tent, and just seeing kind of the fog in the morning. And this is why I like to do it by, you know, rivers and lakes, is because you just go out. And you just, your shower is the river or the lake, and you just go and you wash in there. And it's when you're washing in a river, then I don't know, it, you just feel like a human. It's such a strange kind of like feeling to put into words. Do you know what I mean there?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I remember that feeling when actually like one of our first days on that road trip, I did my first river bath with, we had like, biodegradable soap.
Nice.
And we had just done a hike up the river to these waterfalls. It was just beautiful. And we got back down and our campsite was literally on the edge of the river. And so we just used the river and it was, yes, I know what you mean. It's like going back to something.
It is, man.
That we in this age haven't experienced, but like it's where we come from.
100%.
It feels primitive. Yeah.
100%. I think there's a lot of stuff like that, that, I mean, because I don't think our brains have kind of evolved as fast as our industry has evolved, let's say, you know? Because it's like we have all these things. I say this on pretty much every interview I do. I say this on my show a lot, but it's like things like, you know, home insurance and skyscrapers and automatic doors, all this stuff just seems quite plastic to me. And I don't think our brains have really caught up with this stuff. I think our brains are still very much how they used to be. They're still the bathing in the river brains. Do you know what I mean? And so I think we get a lot from going back to that. You know, I think our brains are like, oh, we're home. This is where we should be. You know, it's, I don't know.
Or I hope this doesn't sound weird to you, but like maybe the brain is there, but the soul is not.
Ooh.
Something, you know, like it's something deep. Like it's something, I don't know. I hope that doesn't sound weird, but
no,
yeah, there's, it's like we have this connection.
Yeah.
When we expose ourselves to it.
Definitely.
Which I think a lot of people who live in a concrete jungle don't get the exposure and they're not connected with it. But I live in Montana and Patagonia, you know,
that
helps. And that's, I mean, I need it. I need it. I thrive off of it.
That's it. That helps, man. See, yeah. I grew up in kind of, well, it was half and half where I grew up. I grew up in the countryside, but the countryside where I grew up in, it was like next to a big, horrible town, you know, in middle England. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I had the best and worst of both worlds in a sense. So I always felt like I was a country boy in, I'm sure there's a song there somewhere, country boy, like in the town, you know, when I go to college and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, man, I've always known about that duality that exists between the country and the city, I suppose. And I don't know, it just seems more real. I can't say enough about it. Like, if I don't spend time outside in the nature and in stuff like that, I'll go insane, man. I could, you know, I went to New York and London and Philadelphia in the space of a week, like 2 weeks ago. It just, man, it killed me. Like I came back.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Came back, got on the bike, put on Bruce Springsteen, Backstreets, yes. What a tune. And just, I was in the middle of nowhere in Poland. I was just riding on the bike like, you know, like I can breathe again. I'm back.
Yes. I feel you totally. I mean, I will never forget the feeling of the day that when I lived in Bariloche down in Argentina in Patagonia for like 3 months. When I left there, I flew straight into Buenos Aires. And oh my gosh, I felt like my heart was like collapsing because I was sitting on the window of the plane just looking below at this, as far as I could see, just like stretch of concrete buildings. And I was so not ready. And yet this plane was hurtling towards this airport. You know, I'm like, I don't want to be here. This is not for me. You know, I mean, I had been living in the woods down where the Wi-Fi was terrible and, you know, and the lakes were beautiful. And I mean, it was just, oh man, I can't. And I don't want to go back to Buenos Aires. Like I don't have any really interest in going there. I was there for 3 days. I'm like, okay, this is nice. Thanks. Bye. You know? And then I went to the Balkans after that. But
nice.
I mean, oh, that's another story. But yeah, it's just, oh man, we have our places, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I reckon so, man. I reckon so. I don't know. I think my place is in the woods. But I don't know. Like I think I've told you this before, but people always, you always get that question. I'm sure you get it as well. Like, do you ever see yourself settling down somewhere and then, you know, making a life in a home somewhere? And I mean, I don't know what to say, but if I do, then I see myself on a, you know, on a farm in Brazil. I don't know why, but I'm seeing that a little bit. But these things all change, man. These things all change. In 6 months, I'll think something completely different, you know? Mm-hmm. When I go to a certain country, that might be the place, but I don't think there will be a place. But I never know what to say. What do you say when someone says, do you ever feel like settling down somewhere? And, you know, what do you say?
I always say, I don't like the S word.
Nice. Hey, I like that.
It really is one of the words that I just don't really relate to. Mm. And I could, my version of settling might be owning property here or there or multiple places at some point. But what that means is still going between places. You know, I mean, I don't have one home. And so I've tried settling before and it didn't work for me. And my home is, it changes all the time. And I need that to be okay. I need that to be an option for me. And so I don't know. I can't answer that, but I'm not going to say no for my future self either. You know, like right now, my answer is that's hard for me to see. Like, I don't know what that would look like. And I mean, I do have goals of places I want to be and places I want to create community, but places, you know, not just one. And, but in the future, you know, I might feel different about that and that's okay. I'm leaving that open for my future self.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You gotta leave that open. Answer that for who I might be in 5 or 10 years or whatever, you know?
So. Exactly. Exactly. Why are we like this, man? Like, you know, why are we not like everyone else? And I know that sounds weird, but do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, not everyone else, because the people listening to this, they, I imagine,
they're going to relate.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're all one community. Yeah. Why are we, not just me and you, the people listening to this, if you're listening to this, you're included in this. Why are we like this? This is my question. Like, what?
That's a deep question.
Are we the ones that are seeing behind the curtain and seeing, oh, this other life, it doesn't fulfill us? Mm-hmm. Or do we have just have different tastes? I don't know. These are the things I think about, man.
And in the meantime, I always say that I'm grateful for the people who aren't like this, because we need someone to stay home and run, you know, like the things to make the world go around while we travel around it.
Definitely, man. I need this computer built. I need this, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. We need everyone. It's like a joint effort. Takes a village to have. Yeah.
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
I like it. But no, you're right. Sorry, carry on. I'm interrupting you all over the place.
I'm all over the place.
I love how at the start of this, your hair was kind of, because usually it's massive and it's always really awesome. At the start, it was kind of conservative. It was kind of nice. But then throughout this call, it's gotten
it's getting bigger.
Yeah. It's great.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing. I could lie in this.
That's amazing. You look like 1980s Cher. That's so cool.
Oh, man. Or I look like 2018 Jackie, because this is me.
I suppose, yeah.
No one else can see the video, so
that's true. Yeah,
we could screenshot. Let's do a screenshot.
Okay,
and put it on the show.
I'm incredibly sweaty though. Like, I had to close the window because it's like there's people working outside, and there's no air conditioning in here, so it's like a billion degrees in here. So it's great.
Oh, we can't see the glisten on your face. Don't worry.
Are you sure?
Okay, smile. We're gonna take a screenshot. Okay. I wonder if that came through the audio.
Oh, man.
We'll put it on the what? Screen? No? What's it called?
You show can notes. Do this. There you go.
Show notes.
It's only been 5 years.
Oh, gosh. 4. We just determined that.
4. Was it 4 or 5?
4. 4 since I started the podcast.
That's right. It's 5 since the blog, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, yeah, good job.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So Poland right now, you're heading up to the Baltics next. You're mostly camping, which I love. You're in a hostel right now. There's a good question that I'd like you to explain. You work from the road, so you are able to keep your income and travel at the same time. I know that interests a lot of people. So will you just tell us how you do it?
Sure.
Not that everyone can do it this way, but this is how you do it.
Yeah, there's a billion ways, you know, there's a billion ways it can be done. The way I do it is I work for a company based out of Columbus, Ohio, and we produce podcasts. My background is in audio engineering. And so I edit and master and do all these things to podcasts. We've got like, you know, 50 or something clients. And so we work with people like Toyota and stuff like that. And so I basically do that from the road a couple of days. And I'm really bad at explaining this, but yeah. And it's basically, the way I say it is, I had a skill and I looked for someone who needed this skill and looked for a way that the skill could be utilized from anywhere. And then looked for someone that needed that and then put it into action and talked my way into the job. And here we are now. And so that's, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. But that right there, what you said, the bottom line is that's That's the path to getting to where you are. You had a skill. You looked for someone who needed it remotely. And now you're in Poland. And I imagine that every few days you need to kind of bunk up in a hostel to get some Wi-Fi or something and get some work done.
Yeah,
and
that's why I'm here now. Every Monday is when I do a bit of work. And so I just spend the day
Monday.
Look
at you with that routine.
I know.
I'm so impressed.
I don't know whether you've noticed, but today is Tuesday. And yeah, it didn't go quite well yesterday. So, but yeah, so I attempt to keep to the routine,
but it's
difficult, man. But
yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, bunker down, do some work. And I don't know. So basically, I do a lot of camping and stuff, but I don't get lonely or anything like that. I love mine and my bike's company, and we just chill out and, you know. But when I've been talking to no human, but I've been talking to a motorcycle for too long, I'll go into a hostel. You know what I mean? It's like when the bike starts answering back, that's when I'll go into a hostel. You know?
Oh, man. And so, oh, man.
It happens, man. You start making deals with the bike. You know, she tries to run out of fuel, and you're just like, okay, just make it to the next gas station and I'll put in the best fuel. You know what I mean? You're making deals. And so, yeah, when that gets a bit much, I got to start talking to some human people, you know? Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get caught in that now because I apparently talk to myself all the time, and it's not quite something you notice till there are other humans to hear that interaction.
Yeah.
And I get called out on it, and I look up like a deer in headlights. Like, did I say something? like maybe I do recollect hearing a noise like back there, but oh man, I think these are the things that happen when you're by yourself for a long time.
Definitely, man.
Sniff. No, I'm kidding.
No, I love it, man. I love it. Those things that happen when you're alone for so long, and then you suddenly get around people, and you're still comfortable because you still feel like you're alone a bit, and then you do so, just like that. You talk to yourself, or you do something. You do. Oh man, I love it because it's like I don't know. You have to try and convince people you're not insane. You just haven't been with humans for a while. You know what I mean? And
that's, seriously, you have to get used to it again. You have to reintroduce yourself into community, and especially when that community is always changing, that makes it even more complicated, I think. Actually, at the end of this last round of travel, I was thinking to myself, I need to get back into some sort of like regular community because I feel like I forget how to act like around people that I see all the time. And it's not necessarily a good thing. Like we're laughing about it right now, but actually it could be a problem, you know, like you lose like certain people's skills go dull or something.
Yeah, I know
like,
exactly
wait a
what
second.
You mean. I think it's a good
I
thing
really
though,
happen.
Man. I think it's a good thing. Cause like, I think because you meet people every day, you know, you could meet a new person and you get so used to just walking up to people and talking to people in hostels. You know, I got a question on the podcast that was like, you know, how do I get rid of that anxiety that I know I'm going to feel when I first walk into the hostel? I'm going to feel like everyone's looking at me. And like, I was like, well, man, everyone there is kind of the same. Like everyone there is also a traveler doing what you're doing. You're one of them. They're your people. Like, would you feel that if you walked into that room and it was all your friends just sitting down there, you'd feel like you owned the place. You'd feel like these are my friends, go and talk to them. That's what it's like. That is literally what, because when you start talking to them and 10 minutes down the lane, if you like, and you're talking to them, you know them and they are your friends. So you'll act differently. So why not act like that at the start? And so my point was that I think it kind of takes away a lot of that. Takes away a lot of that. People skills is the wrong word for this, but it's like the walking up to people and talking to them and the kind of the lack of confidence in a sense. So for example, I was in Philadelphia like last week or the week before, and we were at this podcast conference actually. And it was at a conference, there's a lot of mingling, you know? And it was, mingling is what I do now. Just walk up to someone like, hey man, how you doing? I love your tie. You know, it's like that kind of mingling and stuff. And then I was with all the people from the company, and I went over to talk to someone, and then I came walking back and they were all kind of smiling, looking at me. And I'm like, what's going on? I walked up, I was like, what's going on here, fellas? And they were like, you're walking like you've built and own this building. I was like, well, it's just, like, I thought that's the best compliment I've ever received.
Yeah.
I love it.
Wow.
And so I put that down to travel 100% because you lose that. You lose the kind of, you come out of your shell permanently in a way. It's kind of nice.
I think it could go both ways, actually. And I like your optimism on that. And I like that lane much better than the alternative, which is it could create massive introverts out of people. Because if you're choosing to close yourself off, it is really easy to be alone. And I know that a lot of when I get lonely, a lot of it is because I have put myself there. And I think it's because I've been traveling for so long that I don't find the energy to put myself out there like that. And that's on me, you know? And so that's why I'm like, shoot, I need to like go back to like a community that I know so I can relearn like how to do this, you know? It's kind of funny, but yeah, I see both sides of it. I like yours better.
Well, there's two sides to everything, but yeah, no, I know what you mean though. I'm introverted as well. And I'm, well, as you know, often alone. And a lot of the time, well, I'm choosing to be alone all of that time that mm-hmm. I am alone because mm-hmm. I think I could easily just go talk to someone, you know? So anytime you're I'm right. alone is because I'm choosing to be. And it's, I think it's the same with anyone because you can just go talk mm-hmm. to anyone. And I love being alone, man. How good is it? You know, like a lot of the mm-hmm. time, you know, mm-hmm. when you're choosing it.
Yeah.
It's just, yes. I don't know. It's another one
if
of those.
If you like hanging
things.
Out with yourself, yeah. which you have to get there too. I mean, when I first started traveling alone, you know, 3 years ago, when I first got on the road by myself, it was a very strange kind of situation for me because I hadn't put myself there before. And yet here I was indefinitely facing this mirror all the time. There was just a mirror with me. It was like, there's no one there, just a mirror. It's like, whoa, wow. Yeah. Okay. It's me again. Like I'm still here. Like it's still just me. And you know, I was really, it was not comfortable for a long time. And I never thought I was going to be that person who enjoyed solo travel. I'd never done it. I didn't think I really had the confidence to do it like long term. I mean, I had done like, I guess, little bits of it because of necessity, little bits, but at most like a month or, you know, what, a bus ride at a time, you know, like not that much. And I always made friends, but this was different. Yeah. This was like starting off on a totally different lifestyle, going nomadic with, you know, no one by my side. But I got there. I did get there. It's because, you know, as you stay in it, you learn, you develop those skills, like you figure it out. And if you don't like hanging out with yourself, then you have bigger problems, seriously. Yeah. And so I was thinking last night as I actually went out paddleboarding, when I saw my eagle, we were talking about.
So cool.
I was thinking, you know, I did ask a couple people if they wanted to go, just a couple, and you know, no one could. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to go. Like, this is something I do by myself all the time. And out there on the board, it was, oh man, it was perfect. The water was perfect. I mean, it was a beautiful day, the lake, the trees, the mountains, like it was amazing. And I was thinking, it's a good thing that I like hanging out with myself because that's where I am in life,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's where I am. And so it's a good thing that I've gotten there and that I do enjoy my own company. That's a big step. It's a big step. Totally. And I think a lot of people probably aren't there. But doing something like what you're doing or like what I did and do, you know, that'll get you there.
Yeah.
That'll get you there.
Yeah. Solo
through
travel.
The highs and lows, you'll get there.
Exactly, you know? Man. Well, the lows mostly. I think the lows are, I think, where you learn mm-hmm. the most. Mm-hmm. I wish there were more lows so on this trip. Like, it sounds like a weird thing to say, but like, it's, I don't know, man. I love those lows.
Be
man.
Careful what you wish for.
No, I genuinely want it. I keep on saying, like, the people say, any problems with the bike? I say, no, unfortunately not. I wish that
everything's perfect.
I just want to be on the side of the road fixing the bike because I want to bond with the bike a bit more. That's, you know, but I love those times, man. I want to be caught in the thunderstorms. I want to, because that makes memories. You know, whenever anyone asks me for a story from this trip, I always go to like when I slice my finger open and had to, you know, lost blood overnight and then had to motorcycle to the hospital and what have you. And all these things that went wrong. You never go, oh yeah, I did this and I rode from there to there. It was super nice. It was good. People go,
and
oh,
then
cool.
there was a That's rainbow. Nice.
Exactly, yeah. right? So I, yeah. want, I don't know. I want more stuff. I want to get, you know, mugged. I want stuff to happen.
Gosh. Careful. Just be careful with what you say. The universe is listening, Aiden.
That's fine, man. Bring it on. I've got nothing I can't afford to lose. It's all good, man. It's all good. Like, mm-hmm. I invite those bad things to happen because I think, I say this a lot, man. I think if you think of it, life like a movie, and I've said this a billion times before, man. If you think of life like a movie, think of a movie where it's good all the way through. You start the movie and it's Tom Hanks and he's having a really good time and then he gets married, everything's perfect. And then you're in the movie, you go, yeah, good on you, Tom Hanks. And then the movie ends. That's a boring movie you've got right there. But if you've got a movie and then a third of the way through the movie, something happens to Tom Hanks. What's happening to Tom Hanks? Something's not going right. We love Tom Hanks, but something bad is happening. You go, oh no. And then, you know, halfway through the movie, two thirds, he overcomes it. You know, he does this old Tom Hanks thing and he's like, man, I'm going to get through this. And then he does. You need that. You need that conflict. You need the bad stuff to happen to not just to appreciate the good. That's the old saying, but you need it to have an interesting and fun movie. You need it to have an interesting movie and your life is a movie, man. And you're the star. Mm-hmm. So what am I even saying now? I've had way too much caffeine. But, it's just kicked in. Can you tell?
I love it. No, this is amazing. Keep going.
Oh, man. But that's what I think, man. I think you need those bad points. I invite them. I've told you before about my thing about I want to use the slide on an airplane. I want to use that wing slide. You know, I mean, it looks so much fun. You know, the big yellow slide. I want to use that, man. Like, before my end of days, I want to be using that slide. That is what I want.
Okay, well, if you don't get into a plane crash, you know what you can do. You can go to Istanbul and go tour the Turkish Airlines facilities and they'll let you slide on the yellow slide.
Oh, man, you've just changed my world. Okay, done. All right, sweet. Yeah. Tick that off the list.
Just in case. Done. Just in case you don't, you know, have to use the yellow slide on your organically.
Yeah, but I don't know. I want that stuff to happen, man. That's so much more fun. You know, I just... often I think about me when I'm 90 years old, like I said, I'm optimistic. Me, 90 years old, thinking, what has my life been like? Or me, 90 years old, and my great-great-grandchild saying, what's happened in your life? I don't know why he's there and asking me questions. I don't know, he's being forced to or something. And he's like, what's happened in your life, uncle? Oh, he's not my own, he's not my nephew. great-granddad Lee, what's happened in your life? I don't want to be there saying, now look here, little Jimmy, it was good. So I had a kind of nice upbringing. Then I went traveling. It was pretty nice. And it was all pretty good. You know, it was pretty chill. You know, he'd be like, right, great, boring. All right, I'm not coming to visit you again. And so I want to tell him, now look here, little Jimmy. Like, I want to have good stories to tell him. I want to say, look, Jimmy, what would you do if this happened? And then this happened and then it all came crumbling down. And Jimmy's like, oh no, what did you do then? That's what I want, man. I want little Jimmy to say, what did you do then? That is the meaning of my life, man. Anyway.
Love it. Can that be our little clip for the front of the podcast this time?
It will make no sense, but yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, I just had to back up. I'm laughing too loudly. Oh, man.
But don't you think about these things, stuff. Man? Like, that's the meaning of my life. There's two meanings for me. It's for the world to be a little bit better, but like, no, an overall net positive is what I say. It's like for my being on this world not to have been a negative for the world and the people in it, you know, just that net positive. You know, I make up for all the bad things I've done. I've got a lot more to do, but just to make up for all the bad things, you know, and that's one of the things. And the other thing is to, well, like I said before, little Jimmy, man, he needs to be asking some questions. I want him to want to ask these questions. I want him to come round to visit my house and say, I don't know why I'm alone in my house. This is how I vision myself. 90 years old, alone with no friends. But he's coming round and he's like, tell me more stories. I remember my grandpa, man. My grandpa's got this story, right? Where he was, well, it's his thing. He was in the, he was in the SAS, but we're not allowed to say that. It's like one of these things.
One heard that. Don't worry.
It's like he would say something like that obviously meant he was in the SAS. And my grandma would say, Randall, Randall, you stop talking about that, you know. So he was in the SS.
You want those kind of stories.
Yeah, right. But he was doing this kind of parachute training or something like that. And then he fell out of the plane, right? They didn't get up to how far they were supposed to get up to, and he fell out of the plane, right? And he just he kind of almost managed to get his parachute open. He you know, broke his leg or whatever, you know. And he was in this field in the middle of nowhere, you know, just having fallen out of a plane. And then he walked to the edge of the field, and this bloke comes past in this car, like, and this bloke's like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And he goes, "Well, you're not going to believe this. I just fell out of the sky." And the guy said, "Well, actually, I've been sent to look for you, so get in the car." But like, those are the kind of stories I want. I fell out of a plane. That is the type of, you know, type of caption I want for a story.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. That story is not going to come from me. You can take care of that one yourself. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird kind of view on life, I suppose. But
no, I love it. I mean, it's that whole idea of, there's a quote about that that's like, you know, I want to use the body, use it up, like go into the grave like with scrapes and bruises all of that. I just butchered it, but everyone's heard that. You really know what I'm talking about somehow. Sorry.
loosely.
I haven't seen that quote in years, but that's what comes to mind, you know, like you ask for adventure. Like these, we're signing up for these things, all those lonely moments, all those challenges, all those hiccups along the way, even the rainbows. Like we're signing up for it when we say yes to adventures like this and solo travel expedites all of it and magnifies, I think, all of it. And that's where we both are. And cheers to
that. I think
that.
It's a good place to be, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay. You know what? I think this might be a really good spot to end for this one.
Yeah, sounds good.
Because you and
me.
We all know we could keep going.
Of course.
But I like that. That was really good.
Yeah, it's fun. If I still had interviews on my show, I would invite you on there, but I don't. I just talk into the mic now. And when I listen back to my own show, I'm like, why do people listen to this? But apparently people like it. But yeah, when I have interviews again, you're back every week, of course.
Every week. That's more than I can even hang on to this show. but yeah. Where can people follow your journeys?
Yeah, two places. So the first is on Instagram, which is at Backpack Digital, which in a non-English
Backpack
accent
Digital.
Is... There you go. And
yeah. That's funny. I didn't know that's what you were saying.
Yep.
Backpack Digital. Okay.
There you go. I'd like to hear you do it in an English accent, actually. How good's your English accent?
I can't do it in an English accent.
Of course you can.
I don't have an English accent.
Oh, I'm sure. You just drop the T.
You say it and I'll repeat it.
I'll do it in my native accent. Backpack Digital.
Backpack Digital.
Hey, that was good. No. That was really good. Yeah. Nailed
it. I felt
it.
Like Jon Snow.
That was clearly Irish, but that's all right. We'll leave it. It's fine.
That was, what's his name? That was his...
Someone
that
Irish.
Conor McGregor? No, it's his, oh my gosh. This
no, Jon Snow.
My...
Coming to Republic of Ireland, Jon Snow.
That's how he says it, is,
Who are we talking about? Dermot O'Leary?
His guy.
Bono?
Can we please say, yes, we just edited out about 10 minutes.
Oh, easily.
Of conversation. Let's go back to the question.
It was us talking about like, who is that bloke with white hair from Game of Thrones? We still don't know his name, but there you go. It was unsuccessful.
No, this is embarrassing. See, we still have to edit this out then.
So... Yeah, we just edited out a long time. for what?
For Sir Davos.
Was it worth it?
Oh no, my goodness. Okay. So right. Let's
what
go back to
again?
Backpack Digital. That's where
there
we were.
Go. Pretty good. Yeah, Backpack Digital on Instagram. It's basically pictures of Gloria and landscapes and whatnot. That's
it's
fun.
Nice. You post cool pictures from where you are, and you always put the number of the country that you're in.
That's it. I don't know what
out
I'm
out of 43, like, 26 it. Or something.
I use that for my listeners getting in touch and asking questions for the show. That's like the only thing I use Instagram for, basically, because that's where I direct listeners. And the podcast, which I should probably say, is Travel Stories Podcast. It's a podcast about travel stories, nice and easy. And season, there we go, American audience. Season 1 to 5 Too Much Coffee is kind of, it's fun. You were on, actually. It was...
I've been on a couple times. On, yeah.
You have. It's bring someone on, someone awesome and travel-y and what have you. And then they would travel-y. Tell a story. Travel-y, that's a great adjective, that is. And they would tell a story and then you'd have, you know, Foley sound behind that, sound effects. We had a composer, they do a score to the story, you know, and then there's an interview. It's really cool, those seasons for 1 to 5. And then I started this journey. I'm like, well... So I'm just gonna, all I'm gonna do is pick up a microphone and start talking. And mm-hmm. I started doing that. And then these people, like the listeners of the show, were writing me like, man, I really like this new format. I'm like, format? Like, it's, like,
it's just. Wait, talking. You mean lack of format?
Exactly.
All the hard work that I put into the other show, and you like it when I just pick up a microphone and talk?
Man, tell me about it. And this is the big secret, because I spend my life kind of like the company that I'm working with, we edit podcasts and we do stuff like that. My show, I do not even touch it when it comes to editing. Like the last episode, I was talking like this and the coffee maker starts going by itself. And I'm like, hey, up, coffee maker. I walk towards the coffee maker, right? And like, I'm like, what's going on? You can hear me trying to turn it off. And I'm like, oh, well, that's, I guess that's in the recording. And it just stays there, you know, and people love it.
Yeah.
But basically now it's just a Q&A now, basically, like, cause I get loads of questions coming in each week on Instagram. And, it's just so much fun, man. It's like a conversation more than anything now.
That's cool. Yeah.
I love it.
Cool.
So yeah, it's fun.
Good for you. Okay, so Backpack Digital and Travel Stories Podcast.
That's the one, well remembered.
Hayden Lee, everybody. Thank you so much for the entertainment.
Always a pleasure. Always. You can pinpoint the spot where the coffee kicks in. You can pinpoint it, man.
Yeah. You start speaking a little bit faster. Like, I can't get a word in edgewise.
I know. I'm so sorry.
No. It's all good. It's all good stuff. All right, cool. Well, safe travels to you, whether you want them or not.
Always fun.
All right. And then we'll catch up with you again soon. All right.
Of course. Okay. I'll speak to you later. Nice.
Thanks,
speaking
Hayden.
To you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed story time with Hayden. Remember, you can check out his show, Travel Stories Podcast, and you can follow his journeys on Instagram at Backpack Digital. And you can find these links plus the screenshot that we took in the middle on the show notes page at thebudgetmindedtraveler.com/96. And last but not least, stay tuned because I have a few more BMT favorites coming up in the next few episodes as we approach episode number 100. And I'm telling you now, that is going to be a big milestone. So thanks for listening. Safe travels, unless you're Hayden and you want some crazy travel stories. To the rest of you, safe travels. See you guys next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.